We are glad that you're here with us to worship this morning. It's going to be a little bit of a different morning than it typically is. We are going to take Lord's Supper. You might have seen some Lord's Supper things around. But before we kind of get into the sermon, there are two memes of the week I want to share with you this week. And so some of you are excited about that. So here you go. I'm trying to remember what the very first one is. Oh, yeah. So this very first one I saw quite a while back. And this one, I didn't think anything about it. What it is it's a lady reacting. You're going to see at the bottom here, this is a news story. American girl releases its first doll with hearing loss. And I love what this lady said. She says, "Wait, the other ones can hear us?" I got a kick out of that one. That was pretty good. You know, sometimes you just have those beams that are just so weird. They're great. This next one is that. It's coming from a song called The Blessing. And here you go. It says, "May his favor be upon you in 1,000 generations, and your family and your children and their children and their children." So there you go. Weird meme of the week for you right there. So some of you are going to scratch your head all day long on that one. So today we're going to be doing something a little bit different. We had been doing this series over the last 6 weeks or so, and we've been calling Jesus BC. We've been taking the Psalms, and we've been looking at ones that are about Jesus, ones that are a kind of, that would focus on him. Today we're doing something different. We're going to be talking about not just one Psalm, but we're going to be talking about 15 Psalms. And, there's going to be a little bit of talk about it. I'm going to go ahead and bring in some help today. So you guys come on up here. We're going to talk about this first. So Rusty and Mark are going to join me up here today. So you guys cheer them on. They're shy. They don't want to come up. So you guys, there's mics and stools right over there in your Bibles that you're going to need. So you guys join me right up here if you don't mind. So today we're actually going to be in Psalm 120 all the way through 134. And before you get too paranoid, don't worry, we're not going to have you here all day long. So don't worry about that. They're taking forever. They're over there talking. They're worrying me. Here's where we're going to kind of go a little bit. And so before we get into this, we are going to read those, and we are going to talk about those things. And we're going to take time to read all of them. I'm going to read one. Rusty's going to read one. Mark's going to read one. We're just going to read all of these Psalms. But before we get into that, some of you are going, "Wait, there's this whole group of Psalms called the Psalms of Ascents, right?" You know why we call them that? There's 15 of them, and they're called that because that's actually the phrase that appears before every single one of them. You have the exact same Bibles that we do. They're under your seat there. I want to ask you, not to necessarily turn there. We're going to talk about that here in a minute. But before every single one of these Psalms, you're going to see the Psalms of Ascents. That word there that's used for ascents, it's a Hebrew word, and it literally means go up, right? So these are literally entitled the Songs of Going Up. Four of them are written by David. One of them is written by Solomon, the very center of them out of these 15. The other 10, we don't know who wrote those things. Is there anything you guys want to say about Psalms of Ascent or anything before we get into this? This is really unfair to them because we didn't talk through all this beforehand on this part. Is there anything about those that you want to talk about? All right, so let's talk about why these 15 Psalms are probably set apart, why they have this little title called the Songs of Ascent. Now, there's the town Jerusalem. Jerusalem, you're going to see, is playing a part in some of these Psalms. It sometimes is known as Zion in the Old Testament and in the Psalms and in some of those things. So you're going to see references to Jerusalem. Jerusalem was set up on a hill. So literally, anybody that would go up to Jerusalem would literally be going up. You with me on all this? Right? Because if you're walking down there, you go up. Going up a hill is no big deal in my car. But going up a hill when you're walking it, that's a lot different deal, right? Allison and I did a 10-kilometer race yesterday called Hidden Hills. And literally, we were talking with this lady from Austin she was doing her very first trail race. And she had several cuss words to describe those hills. And we were talking to her afterwards. It was pretty funny. It's like she was not a fan of the hills, right? You may not notice hills when you're in your car. But when you're on foot, you notice a hill. In Jerusalem, that's seated up on a hill there, you would go up to it. Now, these Psalms are the traditional way that people understand these Psalms, and it makes the most sense, and I think it is actually accurate, that these 15 songs became kind of like a little hymnal for when they would go up to Jerusalem. Three times a year, we actually see that. Sorry, you guys feel free to pipe in anytime you want to talk about all this.
I want to talk more about the cuss words the lady
said. The cuss words the lady said.
Like any new ones that we can be aware of, the, you know, hip and upcoming cuss words?
I don't know any cuss words. They all sounded new to me, so. What, which ones do you not know?
Let's ask Allison. I bet Allison knows all of them.
Allison can talk in about all those cuss words that lady described, right? So one of those things, we'll get back to the God talk here. One of those things that you would see is actually in Jerusalem, there was the temple. Three times a year, the people, all the Israelites, all the God-fearing people were encouraged to go up to Jerusalem three times a year. Once in the spring, once in the fall. You know, you had Passover in the spring, you had Pentecost in the early summer, you had tabernacles in the fall, and people would travel up to Jerusalem, and people would come from all over Israel, and they would go to Jerusalem during that time. They would, as they were going up during those three times, they would sing songs as a family. You want to know what songs they'd sing? The songs of ascents, 120 through 134. So this is, they would sing this as a family usually, as the family was going up there. I even picture when Jesus, remember when he's 12 years old and he is in Jerusalem there for one of those feasts? You know what his family did as they traveled to Jerusalem? They probably sang these 15 songs. Is that kind of cool to think that Jesus sang these very songs we're going to look at this morning? Right? Spoiler alert, there were spiritual songs before Bill Gaither. I'm just saying. Right? So, how does that change things, thinking that Jesus would sing these songs? Does it change things? How do you view that? All right, so going on. Now, not only did Jesus do this when he was 12 years old, but Jesus would have been singing these songs. Psalms literally means song. That's what the word literally means, is song. So Jesus would sing these 15 songs, not just when he was 12 years old, but he would actually sing these as he was going up to Jerusalem for his own death, for the Passover, as he is going up there to celebrate Passover, and he knows what is coming. And as they went up to Jerusalem, he sang these words we're going to look at today. So,
and some of the things, too, within this, they wouldn't have carried a hymnal with them. They would have known these songs.
Yes.
They would have memorized all these songs. There's only 15. We go, oh, my goodness, look how many there are. How in the world could we memorize all these things? But think of all the songs that you and I know already just from sheer exposure, just on the radio and things like that from years and years and years ago. And you know these songs word for word, you know. How much more so, maybe for us, as a people of God, who are still supposed to be singing these songs, would commit these to memory? I mean, let's face it, even some of the hymnals that we, or the hymns that we sing, and the worship songs that we sing on Sunday mornings, we, for a lot of us, you probably wouldn't have to put the words up there. You know those, right? And so these would be those songs for them. And Dave's got a great point. I mean, if Jesus committed these to memory, if the people of God committed these to memory, then why not us? You know, why can't we do that? You know, and these are supposed to be in the traveling, in the ascension, and the movement that they're going. They're doing so individually, but they're doing it as community, as a church, you know, as the people of God.
Part of that reason is why when we read these, we want to ask you, I'm going to jump ahead here because we were going to say this a little bit later. But we don't want you to pull out the Bibles and read these. We want you to just listen to them. I don't know if you're like me, but sometimes when I read something, I get so caught up in the words that I'm missing what's really happening. And let's be honest, when it comes to this time in a church service, most people in church, they zone out on the scripture reading, and then the pastor starts talking and they listen in. But you finish reading the scripture and they have no idea what was said. And y'all, that's so backwards. You know, what matters is what this says, not what the three of us are saying. What matters is what this is. So we want to encourage you, don't pull out your Bibles. You can do it if you want to. The translation we're doing is the very one that's under your seats. And be welcome to do that. But we want you just to listen. We want you to hear it. We want you to hear it the way that these kids would have the very first time as they were traveling up to Jerusalem and they're hearing these songs and mom and dad are teaching them to them. So there's some themes that you're going to see all throughout this. The first seven, for the most part, you're going to see this a little bit. It's going to recognize our need for worship, and it's going to talk about the impact that worship makes on us. You're going to see some of that theme as we go through the first seven. The last seven talks about how God reaches out to us through worship. You know, so you're almost going to see like the first seven are talking about our need for worship, and then you're almost going to see how God works through worship in the last seven. That central one there that Solomon wrote, there's pretty much two points, that God is the one that enables our worship and that God delights in us, and then that's a big deal. And you're going to see kind of that pivot as we go through these 15 Psalms. But I love what Warren Wiersbe wrote about the Psalms of Ascent. And here's what he said, and this is so good. He said, under the leadership of Moses, the Israelites were a nomadic people for 40 years. Think about this here for a minute. A nomadic people for 40 years. What would that do to your view of who you are, right? How many of you define yourself on who you are by where home is? By your house looking nice, right? How many of you, your neighbor mows their lawn and you feel like you have 3 days to respond, right? Because we base a lot of our identity off of home. And I love how Wiersbe talks about the Israelites were a nomadic people for 40 years. They did not have a home. And he goes on and he says, but after they settled in Canaan, the Lord required them to go to Jerusalem 3 times a year. This reminded them that spiritually speaking, they were still a pilgrim people and they needed to depend on the Lord. David said, for we are aliens and pilgrims before you. In 1 Chronicles 29:15, you can see that in Psalm 84, Psalm 119, a couple of places. And then Wiersbe said this. He said, too many believers today want to be settlers, not pilgrims. Settlers, not pilgrims. We are happy to settle down in our comfort zones and live as though Jesus never died, Jesus is not coming again, and our lives will never end. We are guilty of what Eugene Peterson calls the tourist mindset, content to make occasional brief visits with the Lord that are leisurely and entertaining, all the while conforming to this world and enjoying it. Yet our citizenship is in heaven, and that should make a difference in our lives on earth. We need to feel temporary as we make this pilgrim journey called life. It's pretty good, isn't it? You're going to see part of this idea between pilgrim and settler when you read these Psalms. You're going to see this theme. So think about this. What is a tourist mindset, right? You ever go on vacation somewhere and you're a tourist somewhere? We always joke about how you recognize a tourist, right? They have a camera and they're taking pictures of everything, right? Because why? You're trying to catch the highlights. You're just trying to catch those little glimpses, those little glimmers. Y'all, you don't have to be even necessarily a tourist in a town. We do that with our Bible, don't we? Rather than settle into our Bible, rather than just focus on all that, we want to just be a tourist. We just want to fly in, take a little picture here and there, pick a little part, do all that kind of stuff. Part of why we are reading this today is because we need to recognize that our citizenship, our true home, is heaven. And these people traveling up to Jerusalem singing these songs that talk about Zion, that talk about Jerusalem, it's this reminder that we are pilgrims, we're not settlers. You kind of catch that picture? You with me on all that? And the truth is that the Christian life is a climb. It's a constant growth. It's constant sacrifice. It's trusting God for what we cannot see, and it is obeying Him, and it is trusting and putting our faith in Him. So we are all too content to settle, to be a settler versus a pilgrim. So here's the things we want you to keep in mind as we read these, okay? First thing, down at the bottom of that page, what's the very first thing we want you to remember as we read these things?
This world is not really home.
All right. This isn't home. What is? Heaven. For any of you that have asked Jesus to be your Savior, your Lord, heaven is home. That's what really is more important than anything else. What's the other thing?
Worship can change your life.
Worship can change your life. And the last thing we want you to remember is that God cares deeply about that everyday life. And I think you'll see that through these 15 Psalms. So we're going to start in Psalm 120. It's a song of ascent, and it's all of these will be. And it says this, in my distress, I called to the Lord and he answered me. Deliver me, O Lord, from lying lips and a deceitful tongue. What shall be given to you and what more shall be done to you, you deceitful tongue? A warrior's sharp arrows with glowing coals of the broom tree? Woe to me that I sojourn in Meshach, that I dwell in the tents of Kedar. Too long have I had my dwelling among those who hate peace. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war.
In Psalm 121, I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore.
All right, 122. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem, built as a city that is bound firmly together, to which the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, as was decreed for Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. Their thrones for judgment were set, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for peace of Jerusalem. May they be secure who love you. Peace be within your walls and security within your towers. For my brothers and companions' sake, I will say, peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good.
Psalm 123, the little subtitle thing says, our eyes look to the Lord our God. To you I lift up my eyes, O you who are enthroned in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of servants look to the hand of their master, as the eyes of a maidservant to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God till he has mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us, O Lord, have mercy upon us. For we have had more than enough of contempt. Our soul has had more than enough of the scorn of those who are at ease, of the contempt of the proud.
In Psalm 124, if it had not been the Lord who is on our side, let Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who is on our side, when people rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us up alive. When their anger was kindled against us, then the flood would have swept us away. The torrent would have gone over us. Then over us would have gone the raging waters. Blessed be the Lord who has not given us as prey to their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth.
125. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people. From this time forth and forevermore, for the scepter of wickedness shall not rest on a land allotted to righteous, lest the righteous stretch out their hands to do wrong. Do good, O Lord, to those who are good, and to those who are upright in their hearts. But those who turn aside to their crooked ways, the Lord will lead away with evildoers. Peace be upon Israel.
Psalm 126 says, when the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, who are like those who dream, then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with shouts of joy. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. We are glad. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like streams in the Negev, like those who sow in tears shall reap with shouts of joy. He who goes out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, bringing his sheaves with him.
Psalm 127. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb of a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with him. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate.
128. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. You shall eat the fruit of your labor of your hands. You shall be blessed, and it shall be well with you. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children will be like olive shoots around your table. Behold, thus the man shall be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you from Zion. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. May you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel.
Psalm 129. Greatly they have afflicted me from my youth, let Israel now say. Greatly have they afflicted me from my youth, yet they have not prevailed against me. The plowers plowed upon my back. They made long their furrows. The Lord is righteous. He has cut the cords of the wicked. May all who hate Zion be put to shame and turn backwards. Let them be like the grass on the housetops, which withers before it grows up, in which the reaper does not fill his hand, nor the binder of sheaves his arms. Nor do those who pass by say, the blessing of the Lord be upon you. We bless you in the name of the Lord.
Psalm 130. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my pleas for mercy. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, that you may be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen for the morning, more than watchmen for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is plentiful redemption, and he will redeem Israel from all his iniquities.
131. O Lord, my heart is not lifted up. My eyes are not raised too high. I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me. But I have calmed and quieted my soul. Like a weaned child with his mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forevermore.
132, which is the longest one, entitled The Lord Has Chosen Zion, says this. Remember, O Lord, in David's favor, all the hardships he endured, how he swore to the Lord and he vowed to the Mighty One of Jacob, I will not enter my house or get into my bed. I will not give sleep to my eyes or slumber to my eyelids until I find a place for the Lord, a dwelling place for the Mighty One of Jacob. Behold, we heard of it in Ephrathah. We found it in the fields of Jaar. Let us go to his dwelling place. Let us worship at his footstool. Arise, O Lord, and go to your resting place. Go you in the ark of your might. Let your priests be clothed with righteousness. Let your saints shout for joy. For the sake of your servant David, do not turn away the face of your anointed one. The Lord swore to David a sure oath from which he will not turn back. One of the sons of your body I will set on your throne. If your sons keep my covenant and my testimonies that I shall teach them, their sons also forever shall sit on your throne. For the Lord has chosen Zion. He has desired it for his dwelling place. This is my resting place forever. Here I will dwell, for I have desired it. I will abundantly bless her provisions. I will satisfy her poor with bread. Her priests I will clothe with salvation, and her saints will shout for joy. There I will make a horn to sprout for David. I have prepared a lamp for my anointed. His enemies I will clothe with shame, but on him his crown will shine.
In Psalm 133, behold, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. It is like the precious oil on the head running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the collar of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord has commanded the blessing, life evermore.
And 134, the last one. Come, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who stand by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands to the holy place and bless the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion, he who made heaven and earth.
Let's have a quick prayer. Lord, thank you for your word. I pray that it continues to speak to our hearts. For your name we pray. Amen. So thank you, guys. Appreciate that. Let me ask this. Was there anything that you heard that jumped out? It's a smaller crowd today. Talk back to me. Was there anything that jumped out? Any phrase, any line that you heard? I just wanted to see who was paying attention. None of you! What did did you think of all that? What jumps out about all that? Not necessarily the line, but what jumps out of all of that?
Those are great words of celebration and encouragement and anticipation of where they're going together.
Mm-hmm.
And people who may be kind of lagging behind are like, no, come on, go with us and we'll celebrate this together.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's what's so beautiful about all of this when combining even those two thoughts, you know, it's this idea, if we're all getting closer and closer to Jesus, you know what happens as we get closer and closer to Jesus? We get closer and closer together as well, too. What else? What jumps out when you heard all that?
It seemed like there was a recounting of what God has done for me, just kind of looking back and realizing kind of the lesson and seeing that God's been here. He's been involved in
it is that, isn't it? Rather explicit directions. Yep.
They know God is involved in all of their activities.
Yep. Yeah, that Jesus would have sung those. Knowing even what's coming, the last week of his life as they're traveling and they're getting closer to Jerusalem as he starts to sing these with his disciples, with his followers, probably with his mother who's also there. We know she's in Jerusalem when Jesus is crucified. And he's saying these words. Sure. So we're combining this today with the Lord's Supper. We're combining this with this sermon series about finding Jesus in the Psalms. And while there's definite references to Jesus that you probably heard as we read those things, we wanted to share this because these are songs that Jesus actually sang. These were words that he would recite. And we get the privilege of getting to do that as well. Isn't that amazing? Amazing, isn't it? I think about how special these songs would have been to the disciples as they had no idea what was really going on. And Jesus does. And as they head up to Jerusalem for the Passover and as they go up there, they're making that ascent. They're singing these songs, but everything is about to be fulfilled that has been pointing to Jesus for hundreds and thousands of years. It's all about to happen in that moment right there. And in that crazy moment, it's easy to miss where God's working because so many people were looking at the crowd. So many people were doing all this. Y'all, this word right here, this has words that'll change your life. They did not just trot out these songs and sing them every once in a while because that's what you're supposed to do, but they were meaningful to them. This needs to be meaningful to us. This needs to remind us to better ourselves every single day, every single hour. This needs to be our guidebook. This is our love letter from God who loves us so much. We need to take time to really study this. We need to take time to look at it. And we need to remember about that incredible sacrifice that Jesus made. The entire Old Testament points to Jesus. The entire New Testament looks back at Jesus. You kind of catch that theme? Do you know what the theme of the entire Bible is? Jesus. He loves you and he died for you. That's what these Song of Ascents really are about. It's about the God that really shouldn't care for me, but yet he does. He loves me, even though I feel so insignificant. Not only that, but he has a place for me. That I am just a pilgrim, I'm just a wanderer, that this world is not my home, but God has prepared that for you.
And
he left you instructions and in a way to do it.
They're all coming from different directions.
Mm-hmm. Yep. They're all going up. It doesn't matter which direction they were coming from. Yep. So we're about to take Lord's Supper. And I want to tell you from the start, Jesus loves you so much, and God loves you so much that he provided Jesus' sacrifice for you, That you could be forgiven of all your sins, that you don't have to be defined by how you've messed up, that you can be defined by this relationship with God. When we were looking at the Timothy passage with the three questions earlier, I kept thinking, how amazing is it that we don't have to be defined by all of our mistakes, but we get to be defined by the love that Jesus has for us. And I want to say, if you have never asked Jesus to come into your heart and forgive you as your Savior and your Lord, we want you to do that. We're going to, before we take Lord's Supper, we want to pray a little prayer. And where you are, you could just pray it quietly in your head. But if you've never asked Him to come into your life, He paid the price that we never could. We could never be righteous enough. We could never be good enough to earn our way to heaven. And Jesus goes, you don't have to. I will pay that price for you. And He died on a cross for your sins, and He rose again from the grave because He loves you. If you've never asked Him to be your Savior, we're all going to close our eyes. We're all going to bow our heads. I just want you to repeat this prayer quietly after me. So let's all close our eyes and let's pray. Dear God, I know that I have sinned. I know that I have done things that I wasn't supposed to do. And I know that sin has a consequence, and that's eternal separation from You. And I recognize that I could never be good enough. And I also recognize that I don't have to be good enough because Jesus paid the way for me. He lived a sinless life. He died on a cross. And then He rose from the grave so that I could have a home, so I could forever dwell in heaven with the Lord Almighty. Thank You for the sacrifice of Jesus. I ask Him into my heart as my Savior and as my Lord. I accept that forgiveness of sins that can only come from Him. Change my life and change my heart today, Lord. And use me this side of heaven for Your kingdom. For it's in Your name we pray. Amen.